Would you take God's word, please, and open to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Would you stand for the reading of God's word today? Stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Would you bow for prayer? Be seated first and then bow for prayer with me today. Father in heaven, thank you for the blessings that we've experienced this morning, taking a stroll down memory lane and remembering your hand of faithfulness. As we look and see these pictures, Lord, we remember so many things that have taken place here in this ministry in 50 years. And again, Lord, we know it's due to your grace, to your faithfulness. And I pray, Lord, that all these things will serve to inspire us to continue to be faithful as we move forward, because we know, Lord, that there's still so much to be done. So we ask all of this in Jesus' wonderful name. Lord, bless us as we go to the scripture. Give us inspiration, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is going to kind of be a different kind of a sermon that you normally get from me. I think it's appropriate when we're remembering 50 years, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about some things that have happened in the past and how we got to be where we are today. And I've got 15 minutes to do it if I'm reading the clock there, right? But you'll excuse me if I go a minute or two over. And I know we're normally in 2 Corinthians, and we're going to set that aside for just this Sunday. And I thought that a good book of the Bible to use to kind of help collect our thoughts today and remember God's call to us as a church is the book of 1 Timothy. We are studying that on Sunday night, and I've been looking into it and reading it so much that I couldn't help but really impact my thoughts as I was thinking about what to say here for this special Sunday. This is a word that Paul gave to Timothy, his young son in the faith. Paul had started a church at Ephesus, and now he was leaving Timothy to continue on in that church, and he gives some specific instructions to Timothy on how he is to act, how he is to move forward with this challenging ministry that was entrusted to him. But before we look into the text, I just want to, again, give thanks to the Lord for his faithfulness. We're privileged today to celebrate 50 years of God's faithfulness. 50 years ago, God used Pastor Earl Johnson and his wife to start Grace Bible Baptist Church. Pastor Johnson and his family moved from New Jersey. When they came down here to Maryland, they came to Bel Air, and they started a church up there in Bel Air and were there for a while. And then some of you know the history of Pastor. He was called to be the director of the Servicemen Center there in Aberdeen, and he had 10 fruitful years of ministry there. And some of you who have been here at a long time, you remember Pastor talking about that ministry, how formative it was in his life, and how he preached the gospel, and many young men responded, and God used him in a wonderful way. From there, God called Pastor Johnson to Halethorpe, and he was at a church in Halethorpe for about 3 years. And after being there for 3 years, he resigned that church, and he considered going into evangelism. And however, there were some people that wanted him to start a new church. And so after praying about it, God redirected him, and he was led to start Grace Bible Baptist Church with 24 people, 6 of those being his own family. And for 2 weeks, they met in a local community college. They had a room there to meet for about 2 weeks, and after that, they had to find something else. So this gave Pastor 2 weeks to find some place for his new congregation. And as Providence would have it, Pastor received a phone call from a local realtor, and he told him a certain property that was for sale. And Pastor Johnson went to look at that property. Of course, that's here, 1518 North Rolling Road. That was 5.5 acres. It had a small church building that had a small sanctuary and then a downstairs area for classrooms. And it had a parsonage on that 5.5 acres. Since we've grown from that, we've bought property on each side of the church. About a year ago, we bought another acre and another house. But at that time, it was that tract of land, that original tract of land, and Pastor Johnson had this brand new church. It was not yet incorporated. They did not yet have a constitution. But as Pastor Johnson would tell the story, he said, "We have the promises of God." And that's how he moved forward. And Pastor Johnson said he made a ridiculous offer to this realtor. He said to the realtor, give us this property for a rental for 6 months, and then we'll pay you $165,000 cash. And Pastor Johnson said, he would later say, you know, I couldn't believe my ears when the realtor said it's a deal. And then Pastor said, after he made that deal, in the middle of it, he kind of felt bad, and he backed out of the deal, turned it down. And later the realtor called him and said, look, you turned this deal down. Why did you do that? And Pastor Johnson said, well, I don't feel like God is in it. And the realtor said, look, I'm a Christian too. And he said, I gave up my sales commission to give you this property. And he said, you should consider changing your mind. And Pastor Johnson did just that. And the realtor later said, what caused you to change your mind? And Pastor Johnson said, one thing, God. God caused me to change my mind. And Pastor said that from that time on, the small handful of people, they sold bonds to try to get the money to start the church. And they came up short. They were just short of about $125,000. I mean, you do the math. And Pastor said, you know, we tried, the well ran dry, and later he would say, I should have known that by now God is much bigger than my puny well. And he said the local realtor called him back again, and he said, how much money do you have, or do you have the money yet? And Pastor said, well, we have all but $125,000 of it. And the realtor said, well, come and see me. And so Pastor Johnson walked into his office, and I remember him telling the story how that he literally had to clear the smoke out of the air as he walked into this office of this guy who liked to smoke cigars. And he was a gruff, talking businessman. And he asked Pastor at that time, he said, are you going to be the preacher of this church? And Pastor Johnson said, well, I intend to. And the realtor said to him, he said, well, I like you. I've heard you on the radio. He said, I tell you what, if you're going to be the pastor, I will lend you the $125,000. You can pay me back when you can. And Pastor later said, you know, I could have kissed that guy. He said, but instead, I gave him a $125,000 handshake. And we humbly thanked God, and we moved into this new property. And some of you might remember, I remember hearing this story so many times, on how the Pastor Johnson walked around the property here, and he claimed this piece of land for God, that God would do great things on it. And, you know, now they had this new sanctuary, and it was an Episcopal church, and they had two pulpits, one on each side of the front. And the first thing Pastor Johnson did was he got rid of one of the pulpits, and he took the other pulpit and he put it right in the center, because he said from the very beginning he wanted to make sure that the Word of God was central, the preaching of the Word of God was to be central in the building of this church. And so he believed that the church should be built upon the clear preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And that's how Grace started. It started with the preaching of a faithful man of God. I can still remember worshiping in that sanctuary, that one sanctuary over there that is now our education building. And some of these pictures here, we saw it. And I want to tell you, I love that building. It brings a lot of memories for me. Some of the most powerful sermons I ever heard in my life were preached in that building, in that sanctuary. I still remember those sermons, and I still remember the titles of them. But under Pastor Johnson's preaching, the church began to grow. And some of you here may remember, maybe you started coming to church at that time. I know that my family, many wonderful families, started coming to Grace. And God was forming a family, a spiritual family there at that time in those early days. My family started coming. God was doing a work in my own father's heart. And he was invited by his brother to come to this church. It was relatively new at that time. And that was back in 1978. And my father came to church, he and my mother. And he got under the preaching of Pastor Johnson. And he heard the gospel and he repented. And God did a real work in my father's heart. You've heard me say sometimes that I saw the power of the gospel before I ever heard it, because I saw the power of the gospel transform my father. He was converted to faith. Later, my mother embraced Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that my father didn't come to me and say, you know, we're going to give you the option of whether or not you want to come to church. My dad was not like that. He said, you're coming to church. Get ready. You're going to come. You're coming with me. And I started coming to church. And like many of you who started coming in those days, you were volunteering. You were doing things here at Grace to help it grow. My dad volunteered. He was a mechanic. And he would work on the buses. God knows the buses up here always needed work on them. And my dad would help out when he could. And I think you remember me saying the first time I ever had a conversation with Pastor Johnson, it was pretty one-sided because my father brought me up here to help work on a bus. Why he brought me, I don't know. I don't know how to work on anything. My other brothers are very skilled at that. I can't do anything. And but he brought me just the same, and I was doing my best to help. And Pastor Johnson came out of the parsonage, talked to my dad, and looked at me and said, what have you done for the Lord lately? Well, I didn't know how to answer that. I don't think I ever did answer it. I think he just walked on. And that was the first conversation I ever had, and it was really a one-way conversation. But the church, again, was growing, and Pastor needed a janitor. And so he came to me one day and asked if I would like to be the janitor of the church. I was 15 years old at the time, and he paid me $50 a week to be the janitor of the church. And it means I was up here all the time. Actually, I just turned 16, and I didn't have a car, so Pastor Johnson sold me a Buick Skylark, burgundy Buick Skylark, for $50. And it looked like a preacher's car, I guarantee you that. So here I was driving this Skylark back and forth to church back then, and that was my first car, and it just seemed like I was up here all the time, just doing whatever pastor needed. And again, the church grew, and then they had to add on to that original sanctuary. They added on, and then from there, there was the chapel building became the auditorium for many years. And then in 1992, this sanctuary was built, all under his leadership, all under his preaching. God blessed in so many ways. And all the things that happened here on the campus, some of you were involved in those building projects. How many of you were involved in a building project here at Grace? Raise your hand. Some of you all were at that time. As you drive up on this property and you drive up the hill, you look to the left, you see that stone fence with the railroad ties. Beautifully built fence. I'm happy to tell you that yours truly carried those railroad ties and put them in place. My father worked at the B&O Railroad, and they were tearing up the old railroad. And I don't know why. I said, but Pastor, we got some old railroad ties if you could ever use them. Pastor never turned down any offers like that. So guess who had to lug them up here? It wasn't me alone. We had some other guys that lugged them up here, and those things were heavy. And we put them in place, and they were used for different things here on the campus. I think that's the only thing that survived with the railroad ties is that beautiful fence that is out there. But in Pastor Johnson's 44 years of being the pastor here, God used him in such a wonderful way in many hearts and lives. He was on the radio during that time, many of you know, and he started the TV ministry, the Ever Living Story, had a Christian school for many years, and was led of the Lord to discontinue that in 2013. But there are so many things about Pastor that I really loved and that stand out to me. He loved the gospel. He was a strong preacher of the gospel. And we heard his testimony many times in the sermons that he preached. He preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. He really did. He believed in the authority of Scripture. He was a preacher of the word. He was faithful. I think of all his characteristics, his perseverance, his faithfulness kind of stand out to me. He persevered through a lot of difficulties, through a lot of challenges, through a lot of trials. And he lived out his faith right here before us. He was an example to us, he and Mrs. Johnson both. And so I was privileged to be asked to follow him. Why me? I don't know. I was actually in Tennessee when he called me, asked me to consider coming back. I was pastoring a large church down there. And I told him no several times. Honestly, I really didn't want to come back. First of all, I didn't feel like I was worthy to follow Pastor Johnson. And then I knew that it was going to be a time before he was really ready to let go. And but for 2 years, he worked on me. And I'll be honest with you, I was kind of back and forth on it. I was unstable, I'd say, okay, and then I'd say no. And I remember him calling me several times, and one time he called me and he said, you know, come back, and I said no, and he said, well, I'm not going to ask you again. I said, well, good, because I don't want to answer this question again, Pastor. But yet he called me back again, and the reason for that is that it was providential. It took 2 years of me praying, and then God providentially moving on my end to say, come back. And really, my wife Carolyn had a lot to do with that. When the phone call came the last time, we could read on the caller ID it was Pastor, and she picked up the phone and she handed it to me. And before that, prior to the call, she had just said, look, God is calling you to go back to Grace. You just need to go. We need to go. And so I said, all right, I'll come. And I'm so glad that I did for so many reasons. As I look back on that, you know, as I look back on that, I look at it and I say, thank God that he brought us here to this church that I've loved so much, and grown so much in it. And Pastor Johnson really was a spiritual father to me like he was to you. He had many spiritual young men under him that were called into ministry. And I'm nowhere near the man Pastor Johnson was. I don't have confidence in myself, but I have confidence in God. I know that God is mighty. And Pastor Johnson could definitely preach the gospel better than me, but he couldn't preach a better gospel because I preached the same gospel that he preached. And my faith is in the power of the gospel for God to do his work. And so I take great confidence in the word of God and the power of the gospel and follow in that pattern of faithful preaching of the word that Pastor Johnson set. And I love the verse that Jesus gave when he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. When I think of Pastor Johnson, I think of an Apostle Paul, because really that's what he was to many of us. And here Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. He calls Timothy his genuine son, his real spiritual son. And like I said, Pastor had many spiritual sons. When he was director of the Servicemen Center, many young soldiers were won to Christ. During his 44-year-long ministry, many young men were called of God to go out and serve the Lord. I'm one of many. And like Paul was Timothy's spiritual father, he was our spiritual father. And here Paul is giving advice to Timothy. And the key verse is the verse that I read here, chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Here is Paul, who started this church at Ephesus, and now he's entrusting it to his young son in the faith, Timothy. And he writes a letter to him. He says, Timothy, here's how I want you to behave yourself in the church. Here's what I want you to do. These instructions are divinely inspired. And I take great comfort from knowing all I have to do is follow this, these orders here. I'm following in the footsteps of a great man of God. And beloved, that's pretty intimidating when you think about it. And yet, God shows us in his word how he wants us all to behave, how he wants all of us to move forward in faith. And so I don't have time because it's already time to leave. I haven't even started my sermon yet. I have 6 points in my sermon. Y'all, settle in. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to give you a few things for a few minutes, and I'm going to let you go. But what are some of the instructions that Paul gave to Timothy that we also need to take to heart as we look out over the future and what God has for us? I know that it's God's will for us to be the church, to be the pillar and the ground of the truth in this world today where there's so much falsehood, there's so much bizarre theology, so much false teaching going on. We are to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. This church was built on the fact that this book is the inspired word of God. And we preach it without apology. We preach the sound doctrine of God's word. And this is the first thing Paul said to Timothy, teach sound doctrine. That's the first thing. Make sure that you're giving the pure word of God. And look in verse 3 of chapter 1. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, that when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Don't allow anything other than the sound word of God. In verse 10, he uses the word sound doctrine. any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine at the end of verse number 10. The word sound there is a word where we get our word hygiene from, and it means health-giving, spiritually healthy. Grace is a healthy church because from the very beginning, the sound doctrine has been preached here from its very beginning days, and we want to continue in that legacy. And Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, don't allow anything else, any other doctrine, that is, anything that is outside of the realms of orthodoxy. You are to make sure to preach sound doctrine and let no one do anything different than to preach the Word of God. We believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. He was truly God and truly man. We believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Every word came from the mouth of God. We believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We believe in the substitutionary atonement. Jesus satisfied God the Father's wrath on the cross with his death. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. You come to Jesus Christ by faith. Salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing else. It's putting your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus rose again physically, bodily after 3 days. And our faith rests on those fundamentals of the faith. We believe he's coming again to receive his church. There'll be judgment. God will judge this wicked world at the end through his son, Christ Jesus. There'll be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. All these things we hold dear. These are the precious truths of the faith that we hold on to and we preach without apology. And we will continue to do that. Another thing Paul said to Timothy is proclaim the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. Look in verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Pastor Johnson loved the gospel of Christ. And again, he preached it. And we will continue to do that, to proclaim the gospel. Because I believe with all my heart that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And that it still works. While other churches may resort to gimmicks and tricks that please the world, we will put all of our faith in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll continue in that. And Paul is saying the gospel works. And just to let you know that, in verses 12 on down to verse 16, he gives his own testimony of how that he was converted by God. He gives his own story there. He tells what he used to be, a blasphemer, a persecutor. He shows how he was saved by the mercy and grace of God, and then how God called him into the ministry. And now he's an example of all those that would come to believe. Look at verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul said, my salvation experience is a pattern for all others who would believe after me. We don't get saved exactly the same way Paul did. We're not on the road to Damascus. We don't see a bright light, but we are changed by the power of God's grace and mercy, just like Paul was. And that's what he was saying. And again, I refer to Pastor Johnson because he always talked about being that lonely soldier boy who was in Tacoma, Washington, right before he was going to be shipped off to South Korea during the Korean War, and how he was invited by 11-year-old girls to go into a storefront building to go in there and hear the gospel. And he said he had no intention of going into that church and hearing the gospel, but the little 11-year-old girl reminded him of his sister Mary. So he went in there, and he heard the gospel, and he repented of his sin, and God changed him from that point on. And we've heard that story so many times because Pastor believed in the power of the gospel because it was evident in his life, just like Paul is saying right here. The gospel works. The gospel transforms lives, and I believe that. And so Paul said to Timothy, teach sound doctrine, proclaim the gospel, and then defend the faith, verses 18 to 20. In verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Timothy, you have been called into ministry. Others have seen that. They've affirmed that. I think Timothy was kind of a timid young man following after Paul here at Ephesus, and he needed encouragement. By the way, I believe that it's the church of God that recognizes the call of God on a person, just like they did in Timothy's life. And I would say the same thing happened to me. And I remember when God called me in the ministry under pastor's preaching, the affirmation I received that helped encourage me along the way, it came from you. Came from this church. Came from people here in this church. How many of you here, if you want to give away your age, knew me when I was a teenager, a young, handsome, redheaded teenager here? See, there's some hands going up around here. And it was back then in those early days when God was putting this call, and you affirmed that, just like it says here with the people here with Timothy. And then he's saying, now, Timothy, I want you to war good warfare. I want you to be faithful. I want you to defend the truth. Be a soldier and be faithful. Defend the faith. This is a military term, the word charge there in verse number 18. And then another thing he says to Timothy, make prayer a priority. In chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Timothy, make prayer a priority. I want to tell you, the church was born in prayer. And it marches forward on its knees in prayer. We need to be a praying church. We need to show God that we're dependent absolutely upon him for his hand of blessing. And that's what Paul said to Timothy. Timothy, make prayer a priority. Pray for kings that are all there in authority. So you say, I don't like what's going on in our country. Well, then get on your knees and pray. Because prayer changes things. You say, I have some people I want to get saved. Paul said to pray in verse number 4, to God who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Prayer is a tool that God uses to bring conversions. On Wednesday night, when we come together here for our Wednesday night prayer meeting and we spend some time quietly where people are praying, that's a powerful time of the week. We need to be a praying church. I hope that you'll make it a point to join us and pray for God's hand of blessing on us as we move forward. But then, again, I don't have time to elaborate more, but number 5, be careful what you ask for, please. Number 5, uphold godly standards of leadership. That's the other thing. In chapter 3, verses 1 to 13, Paul lays out the qualifications for pastors, elders, bishops, for deacons. And he says, you know, not a novice. You have to have some spiritual maturity. And let me just take a moment here and just say I'm so very thankful for the men that God has raised up here in grace. I couldn't do what I do without the godly men that have surrounded me and helped me. We have godly deacons here in our church that I'm so grateful for. That's all a legacy of Pastor Johnson. That's all a legacy of his faithfulness. He raised up godly men that are carrying on, that are going forward. And we need to keep the standards of leadership high. And I would say to our men that are leaders, look, be an example of faithfulness. Don't let the later years cause you to be less faithful, but be more faithful until the Lord comes. We need that example for the next generation. We need to uphold the standards, the godly standards of leadership, and not let them fall. But then here's the last thing I would give you today, and that is keep the church central. And we go back to the original verse that I read, verse 13 of chapter 3. But if I tarry long, how thou oughtest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. In the New Testament, the emphasis is on the local church and being a faithful part of the church. Christians were expected to unite with the local church, to serve God there. And here in this verse here, Paul is emphasizing to Timothy the importance of the church and being faithful to the house of God. I have one fear, and the fear is, you know, post-COVID, COVID has brought a lot of bad habits, and we need to throw off those bad habits. I fear that in America abroad, that the church no longer maintains that centrality, that place of being important. It's almost like it's okay, it's good, but it's not necessary. And I would tell you, just throw off that mentality. Because according to what Paul says here, the church is the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. I'm so grateful that after my father got saved, we started coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We were part of this. It helped me grow spiritually tremendously. It insulated me against the error of the world. And I found in this family here comfort and encouragement and fellowship and love. And that's what we are. We are a family together. That's what he means by house of God. We could translate it household. It's a household of God. One of Paul's favorite terms is brethren. We are all part of the same family. And we need each other. We need family. We got to come together and encourage one another. That's why we meet in an assembly. And it is the pillar and the ground of the truth. That had to be an image that people in Ephesus understood. There was a huge temple there in the city of Ephesus that had a huge foundation and huge pillars. And Paul points to that in this verse and says, that's what the church is. It is the foundation of truth. It is the it has pillars that uphold it. What's the foundation of the church? Look at the next verse. Look at verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This is all about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. Beloved, this church belongs to Jesus Christ. It is his church. It is the church of the living Christ. That's why this church will go forward, because it is his church. And one prayer, and I'll end with this. I used to love, Pastor, when we would pray together, I remember him praying this prayer often. He would say, God, send to grace people whose hearts you have touched, people that you want to be a part of this church. I remember him praying that so much. And you know what I find myself praying now? Lord, send people to grace whose hearts you've touched, people that you want to be a part of this family of God. Lord, bless us and build us. Help us to be what you've called us to be, the pillar and the ground of the truth in these dangerous days. And I will tell you, beloved, it will get challenging. But we will stand firm by the grace of God on the word of God, just like we did from the very beginning days. Let's bow for prayer together. And Father, we thank you again for the word of God that is our light and truth. And as the choir sang this morning in their opener, help, Lord, this to be a place where we send out thy light, send out thy truth. And let them lead us, Lord. Let them help us, guide us in this world. Let us be that light and truth here in this dark world. Lord, continue to bless. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you are doing. And Lord, by faith, we thank you for what you will do as you honor your word. And Lord, may the gospel of Jesus Christ, preached and sent forth from this place in many ways, continue to change lives for your glory. And Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.